This reading is from Matthew chapter 6, and it starts at verse 5. And whenever you pray, do not be like the Hippocrates, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. Pray then in this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to this time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Thank you very much. Well, birds of prey. This morning's sermon is entitled, and I'm not the only one preaching it this morning. You're going to maybe preach it too with me. I don't know about you, but my prayer life changes. It is not always the same. I'll go weeks, months, even years praying in one manner, and it will be successful for me, and then I find myself praying in different ways, and I'll put meat on that bone. The last 4 or 5 months, I've been praying without words. It comes to me from time to time like that, where I still have on my heart and in my mind the people who have asked me to pray for them and the people I'm concerned for, and those are still there with me, but I spend time just trying to open myself up to feel God with me and feel God's intentions and plans for me and intentions and plans for the world. This really started, frankly, around the phenomenon of daylight savings time and taking the dog out for a walk when it's still pitch dark outside and you can see stars. That is my prayer time. And when it was light and there were cars driving by and distractions and such, I would pray with specific things in mind. But in the peace and the dark, when your dog gets you up at 5:35 in the morning, like clockwork, it is so peaceful that words almost seem vulgar. It almost seems like words get in the way of prayer. And some of you, I'm sure, have had a time like that. I hope you have, where words are completely unnecessary. It's you and it's God. And you're blended together there. And there is peace and there is love. And there is hope. And this is the way my prayers have been for several months now. Now, I imagine my prayers will go back the other way, too, because they always do. And it's kind of like an old friend. You don't always converse with an old friend the same way. It depends on your situation and their situation and what's going on around you. And so, in your prayers, and I don't know where you are, some of you probably pray like you're sitting on Santa's knee. Some of you probably pray like you're having a cup of coffee over the kitchen table with God. Some of you, I know, probably think of chakras and life energy. And all of that is okay. All of that is okay. What's important is that when you pray, it is yourself. It is not something you're putting on for God. It is not an attempt to impress God. And Jesus talks about that in the reading today, and it's so ironic that the words that you heard Caroline read, we know by heart now, because that was not Jesus' intention. Everything before the Lord's Prayer in that reading said, don't pile up empty words and empty phrases. And then he told all of his disciples, call God Daddy. Now, you can call God Mommy, too, but the point is, he said, intimate relationship with your God is what's vital. an intimate relationship with your God. And when you pray, pray for God to be more a part of your life and pray that all parts of your life might be in better alignment with God. That's the Lord's Prayer. That's what Jesus told us to do. Now, I love the Lord's Prayer, and I'll never stop praying it because it brings me great comfort. But Jesus' point of this reading was, open up, love God, and let yourself be loved by God in return. That is prayer. So Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites who stand up in front of the synagogue and pray, or stand on the street corners and pray and look for public praise. And I got to tell you, as a pastor, that puts me in a little bit of a delicate spot on the face of it. So how do I reconcile the need, the deep need for public prayer in our world, with this idea that we don't pile up empty phrases? There's a poet named Andrea Gibson, and she's a somewhat militant poet. I like her. But she has a poem called Say Yes, in which she shares the anecdote, the analogy of two fine violins in the same room. If you have two well-made violins in the same room and you stroke or strum one, the other will hum in sympathetic vibration. And that, to me, is the idea of communal prayer, where one person is strummed and the rest, it resonates with them as well. Now, at times it might be the person up front doing the praying who is strummed. But I got to tell you, from listening to the church service yesterday, or last Sunday's church service, and from what I've heard from the feedback from all of you, there was a lot of strumming going on out there in the pews, and it made it more moving and more meaningful, didn't it? Anyone in a room at any time can be made to make music by God. Anyone at any time can begin to vibrate with the holiness of God. God chooses the person that that'll happen to. And if we are finally made, and we are fearfully and wonderfully and finally made by our Creator, then it is always possible for us to hum along with the faith experience of another. So in communal prayer, it's my hope that when I pray, whether it be 5 or 500 people, that it be something where God will move all of us, where God will be present for all of us. This past week, Paul was kind enough to take me up to see Debbie Sullivan. It was wonderful to see her. She is such a dear, and I know we all miss having her here so much, she and Jerry. And Jerry is working so hard for his wife. He does not leave his bride's side except to sleep. And it, I believe, is wearing him down, but he is a strong and a good and loving man. And Debbie is trying to get back her power of speech. It's all in here, but she's got to recarve where it comes out here. And those of you who either work with stroke victims or have had that experience somewhere in your own family, in your own life, know what I'm talking about. And I am confident that Debbie is coming back to us whole and complete. But anyway, it came time to leave, and we decided to pray. And Debbie's daughter, Colleen, was there as well, and Jerry and Paul and I. And Debbie was in her bed, and we circled around her and closed our eyes and began to pray. And I prayed for healing. I prayed in praise of the love that was in that room and the incredible expertise and skill that was within that hospital. And then at the end, I started the Lord's Prayer. And I had this idea that I was going to open my eyes and see what Debbie was doing. And apparently the other three people around the bed with me had the same idea. And so there we were, the four of us standing over Debbie, all touching her somewhere, saying the Lord's Prayer and looking at her. And she had her eyes closed tight. And she was mouthing along with us the Lord's Prayer. Now, I don't know that she had all the words exactly right. It might have been my flounder who sparks with Kevin. You know, it's like that. The words get substituted and all mixed up, but the cadence was there. The rhythm of the Lord's Prayer was there. She didn't actually speak, but her lips were moving to the Lord's Prayer. And she, my friends, was in sympathetic vibration with us, but even more so, we were being moved by God through her. It did not require words. It required us being there together in love, in peace, in patient, faithful hope, and to see that woman praying was a most profound and moving and wonderful moment for us. So it doesn't take piling up words. It doesn't take impressing God. It doesn't take anything more than sheer honesty in our prayers. And sometimes sheer honesty is frightening and painful if we are confessing things or if we are sharing our hurt with God. And sometimes sheer honesty is next to impossible if we are ashamed of something. Yeah, I know for those of you who are parents, you've had that experience before, I'm sure, of a kid coming to you, and you know that they've done something wrong, and you know what it is, and you want them to tell you that they've done it, and you're just thinking, please, just out with it, out with it. God's the same way with us sometimes. Just tell me, out with it, out with it. Bird of prey. A wing works because the air moves faster over it than it does under it. The air over the top of a bird's wing, while what is under lifts up with more lift than what is held on top. And I want prayer for me, and perhaps you want it for you, to be like that. To have the burdens on top of me be more spread out and not so much as that which is lifting me. And then prayer can take flight. And then prayer takes flight. If you share your burdens with your God, you lighten your load, and then you can soar. Then you too can be a bird of prey, P-R-A-Y. You too can be a bird of prey. So what I would like to do this morning, on a morning where they're still cleaning up Haiti, on a morning when they're now starting to clean up Chile, and they're looking for tsunamis maybe to hit Japan, on a morning where we have had death in the surrounding community of a young man, where we have so many things on our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, I would like us to start with our dearest friend, the one we can trust the most, the one, indeed, we don't have to fill the air with words around, the one with whom we can comfortably be silent. I'd like to spend a little bit of time in silence with God. Now, if there is a small child with you, the rules do not apply to small children. They never did. But let us all, as a point of prayer, close our eyes right now. Please close your eyes. And I want you to start here. You are here, sitting in a pew or standing behind a pew in West Bloomfield Congregational Church. If you have aches and pains, you have aches and pains. If you have sorrow, share the sorrow you have with your God. If you have joy, share your joy. If there are profound concerns weighing on your mind, God knows them before you can speak them. So let us now just open our hearts and our minds to God. Feel God's presence and know in confidence that God knows you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.